Really deep voice. Hey, baby. You know, type of thing. It was kind of cool. Hey, and those envelopes in front of your seats. Those are for members only. You don't have to worry about a thing.
Was that for...
It was for Easter.
Specifically for the Easter service.
It's for the Easter service. And we're going to change it up a bit here and all. And then they did this new song.
I don't know.
The hill, Golgotha Hill. You know, Golgotha is the hill that Christ was, and the thieves were crucified on and all. But it was the most unchurch-like song, just because, you know, it wasn't all whatever. It was kind of dark and all this, and then it just got grungy and kind of, you know, almost Linkin Park Disturbed type of grunge. I have part of it here. I'll let you listen to it afterwards, or I can play it here and you guys can probably hear it.
Cool.
But man, it was awesome. It was just awesome. And people were just...
Scoot that way. Yeah, there you go. Right there.
Scooting right there.
Now, like, move the microphone to get right in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm sorry I'm so tall.
That's okay.
Man.
I know. It's you know, when I go to set it up, I'm like 6 inches down here. You know,
I'm trying to slouch and all. So
yeah.
You're
doing good at it, though.
I'm doing good.
You're slouching very well.
That is the broken back of a businessman.
That's funny. I actually like
I'm
that.
Sorry.
That's good. All right. So today, I have an undeveloped thought that I want to talk about. I had just the topic that kind of hit me today, and it kind of came about in a funny way. I was actually driving Kylie to swim practice, and it kind of hit me on the way to practice. But
was that at 4:45 this morning?
No, this afternoon. It wasn't the morning practice. She didn't have morning practice, thank goodness. But so the thought for today is features versus benefits, specifically when we're talking to our prospects and clients. Should we be talking to our prospects and clients about the features of what we do or the benefits that what we do will bring them? I'll give you the short answer to skip ahead to the very end of the show. The answer is benefits every single time and twice on Sunday.
And thank you very much for watching.
Thank you. Have a nice day. And good
kidding.
Night. in no circumstance ever is it more valuable to discuss features over benefits. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is benefits over features.
So I guess you would like to hear more than, geez, I agree.
if you feel like elaborating a bit on that, that's fine. But no, I'll tell you again how it came to my mind is, as we were driving, Kylie has gotten a new perfume, right? So I mean, now there's this new scent or whatever, right? Actually, I'm not sure that it's perfume specifically. It's some kind of body splash or whatever malarkey it's called, right? It smells. So, and it's a good smell, don't get me wrong, but it's
a little more fragrant than what your vehicle is probably used to.
Exactly. Yes, much more fragrant. But so I started thinking about, cuz it's what I do, I think marketing. So I start thinking about marketing perfume or cologne. Is there anything more difficult on the planet to market than perfume or cologne? Because think about that.
Well,
cologne and perfume have zero benefits. You have to create benefit because it doesn't do anything. It's a smell. So what a marketer has to do is convince the audience that if you wear this perfume, it's going to make you smell sexy. It's going to attract
males or females. It's going to make you smell confident. It's going to be that smell that people want to be around.
And it does literally none of that, right? I mean, it actually doesn't do those things you have to create.
Is that why those commercials and all that are so confusing?
They have to be.
I mean, because like you see the Johnny Depp in, I don't know whatever his newest one was, but he's in the desert digging someone's grave or something, and like,
yeah.
And this is what,
right?
Interesting.
So if you talked about the features of perfume and cologne. Right. I mean, right. So we have a little bit of water. We have a little bit of alcohol. We have a little bit of
this smell instead of this smell, or it's an ocean smell. It's a sand smell. It's a.
But even that is invented, is it not? I mean, look, you smell ocean breeze, right?
Right.
Does that really smell like ocean breeze?
I guess depends which oceans they have visited, type of thing. But usually not any ocean I've been to.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're just making up these names, these scents, because they don't exist, right? They're just making this stuff up, which is perfectly fine. There's no problem with that. And I'm not saying anything negative about perfume or cologne. Absolutely, wear it if you so choose. I wear it, so it's. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What I am saying, though, is if you look at it, and this is the extreme case, I think, of features versus benefits. You can't talk about the features of cologne because it's not about what's in the bottle. It's about what's on the bottle.
Let's take a step back.
Yeah.
What do you define as a feature?
Well, that's a good question, because a feature would be anything that goes into the making of the product.
So, like, if
or
you
the
were
making
in a car,
of the service. Right.
If you were in a car, a feature is air conditioning. A feature is rear view video.
Exactly.
Rear view video.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Rear view camera. Yeah, absolutely.
Of a car.
Because
now,
if you
think features have benefits.
That's the key, right? So you don't want an air conditioner. Nobody wants an air conditioner. Air conditioner is a piece of machinery, right? I don't want an air conditioner, but I surely don't want to be hot.
Right.
I would like the cool air. Therefore, I have to have the air conditioner. So if I'm going to sell you an air conditioner, just like we do with perfume, or marketers would do with perfume, I'm going to sell you an air conditioner. I'm not going to talk to you about the nuts and bolts of the air conditioner. I'm not going to talk about fan speeds. That's what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
These little itty bitty features and all this kind of stuff that's all throughout this fan that 99% of the population has no idea about.
Right.
I'm going to talk about how it's going to give you ice cold air. It's going to feel like, you know, whatever. Right.
Right? Just like an engine.
Yeah.
You're not going to get talked into, you know, I'm going to show old school here, carburetor, and, you know, and all that type, pistons, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to say, hey, the benefit of that is you can do a mile in 5 seconds. Benefit of that is you can do, you know, 0 to 60 and whatever.
Exactly.
That's the benefit compared to a feature.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, with the cologne and the perfume, it's kind of funny, you know, again, as I said just a second ago, it's not what is in the it's not what's in the bottle, it's what's on the bottle, right? And many do this where they will take that same perfume that's in the bottle, put it in a different bottle, and you can charge a totally different price for it, right? Whether that's more or less.
True.
Generic, right? Is it, you know, so you've got your main brands of perfume, and I'm going to show my ignorance on perfume. I don't know names of perfumes or colognes, but you have, you know, your high end expensive colognes.
Your Christian Dior.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, exactly. I actually knew that name.
Yes.
So you could take those scents and literally put it in another bottle with a different name on it, right? And you could sell it for less or more. Sell this brand in Walmart. Or it's
depending
totally
on
different
what,
demographic.
Depending on what name was on it, too. Depending
exactly.
What advertising marketing name was on it.
Exactly. Exactly. So it got me thinking a little bit about kind of things that I've done in the past and jobs that I've held in the past. And I was thinking back in college. And there was a short stint while I was in college where I sold shoes at Sears. Yes, Sears sold shoes. I don't know if they still do or not, but they did when I was in college. And I was a shoe salesman. Yes, I was. I know that sounds cliche. It sounds like it's not true, but I actually did sell shoes at Sears. And a couple things that I learned. The first thing that I learned is you always have hand sanitizer when you're a shoe salesman at Sears.
That's right now I can only see Al Bundy in my mind. I'm sorry.
Al Bundy.
From Married with Children?
He was
a shoe salesman.
Was he? I never watched that show, so I didn't know. But
I shouldn't have watched it either.
So,
it was a stupid show, but it was funny. Anyway, sorry.
So
please continue.
To make sure that I'm clear, are you comparing me to Al Bundy? Are you saying that I'm reminding you of Al Bundy now?
Not at this moment in time, because, you know, you're not making the inappropriate jokes.
Right.
Or, you know, doing anything else. But I was just saying, when I see your shoe salesman, you know, brief stint, I think, just thought of Al Bundy. I kind of had one of those cognitive leaps, stream of consciousness type of thing.
Wow, that was deep.
So
that's good. So I was a shoe salesman at Sears. I'll save you from that. But no, I was a shoe salesman at Sears, and other than the hand sanitizer, what I did learn, though, and paid attention to and kind of started cutting my teeth in marketing, because I was studying marketing at that time anyway, so it was kind of a pretty good exercise in features versus benefits, because one of the shoes that was popular, this was mid-90s, late 90s is when I was there, one of the shoes that was popular were the Reebok pumps.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those? Right? So you pump it up and air out. So this was the pitch man was Dominique Wilkins is who was the pitch man for Reebok for these particular shoes or whatever. And I just remember back on all the displays that we would get in and the commercials that were going on at that time and all the mess that was going around
these
pumps.
Shoes, right.
These pump, you know, pump it up and you can, you know, air out. You can slam a ball like Dominique Wilkins, you know,
right.
you can dunk like Dominique. And that was so funny because I could have put 10 of those shoes on and would never been able to dunk a basketball, no matter how tight I pumped. I could have busted the tubes inside there that's getting pumped
up,
and it would have never helped
me. You're not even going to get the extra lift for when those things explode.
No. I mean, I might get maybe half an inch lift from the explosion, but those things sold like hotcakes. They were hugely popular. Because the pitch was dunk like Dominique Wilkins. They were trying to convince you that they were showing the benefit of wearing the shoe. The features of the shoe were actually quite ridiculous. Tie your shoe tighter.
Well, true. Exactly.
I mean, that's what you could get from, you know, the pump feature itself. It was quite frankly ridiculous. That's why nobody does it anymore. It really makes no logical sense whatsoever. But they sold the hound out of it because they talked about the benefits, right? They talked about what...
Because it was a different feature that every shoe than other shoes had, but there was a benefit for that feature.
That's right. And if you go back and you look at any of their spots that that Reebok did during that time on those shoes, they never talk about the actual, let's call it technology for lack of a better term, but the technology of the pump. And exactly how they ran the cylinders through the shoe, and it was actually they never talk about any of that. They don't talk about how it actually works. They just show you that if you pump it up, you can air it out. Right? Was the whole message, and it worked, and it caught on. And we could go through example after example after example. So then I guess the I think the overall point or the big point that. Not that I'm the point that I'm trying to make or anything. I guess just the thought that I'm trying to share is that's applicable for small businesses as well. And I think small businesses too many times want to talk too much about the details of what they do, not realizing that the client or the prospect actually they don't really care about the details as much as we think, or certainly not as much as we care about the details.
Right.
Not saying that they don't want to know some of the details, especially depending on what industry we're. I mean, in your particular industry in architecture, there are some of those details that you got to kind of at least lay out. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about selling, not necessarily when you're talking about actual designing and when you get down to the construction and giving them the construction documents and all that kind of good stuff, but from the convincing them to use you. The conversation is about what you are going to bring them. What is the end game for them? And I think small businesses sometimes talk too much.
I can see that 100% because, yes, we want to talk about all the features that we have. We can talk about our AutoCAD program. We can talk about, you know, all these other Photoshop, SketchUp, all of these other things that we can do for you.
Right.
But do we really sell them on the benefit of why you want to do that? Why would that be more important, you know, than anything else?
Right. And more importantly, and specifically, how would it be important to use those certain things
for you?
Right.
For you, said client.
Exactly.
Than, right.
Exactly. Because, you know, as small business owners, and I catch myself doing this too. So this is, again, as I always do, it's a sermon for myself as much as anything else. But I can catch myself because I love talking about marketing. I love going into detail about what happens on pay-per-click campaigns, what actually is involved in website development, what's involved in social media management. It's not as simple as everybody thinks that it is. Oh, just go post. That's not, you know. So there are all these graphic design, all these different things. There's a million details. There's a million technicalities that happen in there that the client couldn't care any less about. But I have a bad habit because I'm in love with it. I mean, that's so much fun for me. And I have so much passion for those elements of the business and those elements of the projects and this kind of stuff that I have to catch myself every once in a while and stop and say, is this really something that the client is looking for, right? So what, who cares, is what you have to ask yourself every single time, just like the client would. Does the client really care about all these details, or do they care about the actual end game, what's actually going to end up happening, right? That was my...
No, I mean, I think it's a good point. One of the things I do in my architecture firm and I do for my tenant improvements is, you know, I am allowed to do certain engineering, electrical, plumbing, mechanical engineering, up to a point.
Right.
And that point includes most of the stuff I do for TIs. And I don't have to tell them, oh, I'm, you know, State Board of Technical Registration allows me to do it up to here, up to, you know, what is it? 22,000 KAIC rating, I'm allowed to do electrical panels. Clients don't care about that.
Right. Right.
Clients want to hear, what's my benefit? Hey, you know what? I don't have to send it out to a electrical engineer for him to sit on for a day, for them to him look at it the next day, for him to get it back to me the next day. I can look at it, make the changes I need, and keep on going. I can save you time.
Which is the benefit.
Which is the benefit.
That's right.
I can say, why is that important to you, client? Because I can save you time on this project. I can get things done possibly a little quicker, and we can have some more time to spend on other details that you are going find more, you know, interesting, to, you know, selecting colors, selecting flooring, designing more of the casework. We're going to have more time for that rather than kind of, I have to wait for this, but I can't do electrical yet because I need to wait, make sure this moves. Oh, you want to move that outlet? Oh, crud, I have to send it back over to this guy for him to move it 2 feet underneath the knee space. I mean, it's those type of little things that I can save you money.
Right.
Features, benefits.
Right. And I think at a very important point, as you were saying all of that, one of the things that was kind of in my mind is what is most important to the client isn't always what's most important. Right? I mean, because you think about what, I mean, you know all the back end of the architecture piece of it, of all the codes and all the laws that you have to follow and all the... I mean, that's like kind of like if you think about remodeling, so many people don't understand the concept of load-bearing walls, and they'll just go through and start knocking walls out without ever realizing that ceiling could come crashing in on top of you. You know, the roof may fall. I mean, that's an important piece.
You know, it was even in my house that I grew up in. My dad was, there was this decorative wall, this decorative wood thing with, you know, it was 70s, just what I said. You know, he was cutting through the first 2x4, and all of a sudden, you know, he got halfway through it and the 2x4 just dropped right on the saw blade. And it was stuck because it was a load-bearing design feature. And he was like, what do I do? You know, I think we actually got up there. We got some sort of, you know, jack, kind of, you know, twisted it a little bit. It released enough so we could remove the, you know, saw blade. But, you know, dad's going... Great, now I have a cut in my wall right here.
You have a new decorative piece.
You know, and my mom's going, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's the idea of, hey, there could be something there. And I agree with you. But also the important thing as you know, small businessmen, we have to realize too, and we can start going into a whole nother conversation about, you know, programming and listening to clients, you know, needs, wants, all of those type of things, and find out what is really important to them and make sure we meet those needs, but also hopefully have them realize, hey, these are some other things you really need to think about and worry about. Well, why do I have to have 4 bathrooms? I don't need 4 bathrooms. Well, because of the size of your building and because of the type of business you do, you're required by code to have these. Not my decision.
Right.
But we can't get you making money until we meet these codes. Right. I know that's not important to you, but it's something we have to live with it. Yeah. Now let's get into what's important to you.
Yeah,
you
sure. Know, type of sure. Thing. No, absolutely. So. And you know, something else that literally I just started thinking about as we've even had this conversation that I think is at least closely related to this topic. I don't know if it's the exact thing. I'm not completely switching topics here. I think it's closely related, but is
that rabbit trail.
just a slight step to the right here. This was about I actually have done a video on this one before, but I about a year ago was taking my we have a Yorkie, and I was taking it out to do its business or whatever. And it always cracks me up as we walk around or we do a walk around the subdivision or whatever, how this dog is completely, no matter how good our neighbors do their landscaping. I mean, there's a lot of homes that just have perfect setup.
It's like a topiary.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. It's never quite right for Toby, my dog. He always needs to add just a little bit. And so when we walk by these beautiful landscaped lawns, yards, you know, whatever you want to call it, rocks, you know, out here in Arizona. Anyway.
Welcome to Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. We have, it's so hard for me to call them lawns because, but anyway, when we walk right, he's always got to make his mark, right? So he lifts his hind leg and makes his mark, right? And it's so funny. We'll just go around the subject, and it's just periodically, every once in a while, he just wants to make his mark here, make his mark there, just needs to leave a mark right there. So that got me thinking on that walk that we had, it got me thinking about how clients sometimes like to leave their mark on our work. And I know that I know it happens to you. It happens to us in advertising where we bring in our recommendation, our suggestion for something. And then, you know, if we're doing a piece of content or something, the client is inevitably going to be completely drawn to, we need to add a comma here, or we need to change that word A to change it to, you know, the, or, you know, little itty bitty things. Those are little silly things that are not going to change the direction of the ad. It's not going to change the effectiveness of the ad. It really is absolutely zero benefit whatsoever. But it is them leaving their mark on their project, and they really want to leave their mark on a project, right?
And I think especially when it's something that they don't understand fully, or something that, you know, yeah, there are some things, well, oh, I understand why you did that now. I wouldn't have thought of that. But now I want to have my little piece of this. I got to put my, you know, I got to put my little, you know, signature in the corner there of something for me.
Yeah.
And it's also important to realize when that's happening and also not shut them down.
Right.
Because then they can start. Then they can also become uber critical too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I don't, you know, well, no, I wouldn't do that, you know.
Right.
Of course, you know, there's always the clients that are going to be that way.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, giving them some ownership in this project is also an important,
it is,
you know, thing too as well.
It is. I had a client after that happened, and I had this long thought, and I ended up doing actually, it started as just a blog post. I usually write my stuff out first, and then I did a video on it. But in between writing it out and before I did the video, I had a client that we were doing that, and it was, oh, can you move it an eighth of an inch to the right, or, you know, whatever silliness it was. And I just remembered stopping the client and having a conversation that I'd never had with a client before, saying, look, I know that you want to leave your mark, and that's awesome, and I want you to be able to do that, and I want to make sure that this feels good to you, because number one, I mean, you're paying for it, so that's an important piece of it, right? But more importantly than that, it needs to be a reflection of you.
Exactly.
So your input has to happen. I need that input. Told him the story about my dog and walking around the subdivision and everything, I wrapped the whole thing up by saying, just don't piss all over our work, because we've put a lot of work into it, right? Yeah. And I got him laughing, and it was good, and it was a productive meeting, but. It is, you know, something that we deal with very much in marketing. I know you deal with it as well, is the idea of the client coming back. And those who are in the service industry, now retail's not, I mean, there's not many things you can change, right? But those that are in the service sector is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of things that we do that we end up maybe having to make revisions, or the client asks us to change a little thing here or there, that we're sitting there and we know full well that it has no end game benefit. It does not move the project forward in any way.
2 inches, just 2 more inches. There.
Exactly.
Yeah, just right.
What is that?
Yeah.
So you can.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's,
right.
That's it.
That's so that it can get 2 pencils sitting there instead of one. I mean, it's little itty bitty stuff like that really is totally insignificant, but it is important to that client that they're able to that project reflects them,
and
right?
Then they have something in it, and it's their project. It's their project.
That's right.
And I mean, one of the things I tell my clients all the time, and I will tell you, I'm here to give you my expertise, what I do the best that I can do, and give you that knowledge and experience. If you want to do something else,
I did that on purpose.
You know, hey, fine and dandy, but you know, I think this might be, you know, the best way for you, but I always have that caveat of, hey, every dentist is different. You know, it might be all the same pieces, but I don't think I've ever done a floor plan that is 100% the same between two dentists. Even if they're in a very similar, you know, shell building, if they're in a very similar suite, it's still different because you have to find what is that of them that makes them them. What is that of them that makes this project special, unique, you know, for them. You know, one of the things I say, hey, this is the biggest tool you're ever going to work in.
Oh, that's a good, I like
you know,
that.
Because, I mean, it is, you know, just like you choose a handpiece, you know, they choose handpieces that say, hey, that's a good weight, feels good in my hand and all. Mm-hmm. I was like, this has to work for you. This has to feel good. You know, I don't want you saying, oh my gosh, you know, this thing is now too far away from this thing. You know, that's not efficient enough. And all I try to bring them in as much as possible to say, you know, and once again, you know, there are laws of physics that cannot be changed.
Right,
but
right.
No,
sure.
Those two things can't occupy that same space. That's
right.
Not possible. But you know, getting all of that, and once again, you know, that's having them have their mark in it.
Yeah, and I think the overall kind of conversation here is, and. You know, again, I think about these things to talk about because things happen in my days, and I think one of the things that I've seen through the years that end up some really professionals in our industry, and I'm thinking a lot of graphic designers are the worst. I mean, I love graphic designers; they're actually one of my favorite people in our industry just because I love what they produce. But they take their work so incredibly personal that they forget that they're working for someone, and they feel like they're artists and that they're just doing a piece of art. And in marketing, there are elements of art that are involved, but at the end of the day, there is a very specific box that we have to live with.
But you also have to remember, this is commissioned art.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I want you to do this piece for this reason,
sure.
for whatever.
Right.
And I mean, it's the same with architecture, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I would love every one of my projects to, you know, to get an award. I would love to be able to submit every one of my projects for an award. But that's not the goal here, you know, of this.
Mm-hmm.
If something does win an award, yay, great.
Right.
Whatever. You know, the client can say, oh, yeah, I had my architect do this, and, you know, we won an award. I mean, once again, that's the, you know, hey, I work with my architect, and we did this, and we did that. I love it when that happens, you know. Don't like the climate. You know, clients that say, oh, yeah, here, I designed my suite, and this is what we got. You know, it's like, yeah, no. But a little help here,
right.
But, yeah, but, I mean, once again, and that can easily kind of, you know, bring you back to, you know, features and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can provide, you know, of all these features that we have, those are the things that I can provide you a benefit to make this your project.
Right.
To make this,
yeah,
you know, your thing. This is a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever your company is, it's going to hopefully be out there for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Sure.
You know, and hey, that's my mark.
Right.
And hey, I'm hoping that I can, you know, make some of my mark with your mark. And, you know, that just got weird all of a sudden. But anyway, you know, but Going back to benefits. Going back to benefits.
But you know what? The underlying theme here, though, is really, and I guess this is the. It's just the theme. It's the underlying theme is whether we are selling to our client or generating new business or whatever you want to call it, right? Some people hate the word sales. Whatever it is that you're doing, consulting, whatever. Helping a client decide what direction they're going to go and, you know, talking features versus benefits. Or if we're talking about revisions that they want to make. At the end of the day, we have to, as professionals and as entrepreneurs, as business owners, we have to be able to step outside of our work for a minute. Don't take it so overwhelmingly personal.
Amen.
And look at it from the standpoint of the end user, not from the standpoint of the producer. If we sit down and we constantly are trying to produce projects in whatever industry that we're in, produce projects for us, well, we're missing the point, right? Because we're not producing for us. We're producing for our clients and those end users. So we've got to be able to step outside of that. And like I was saying with graphic designers, I see so many times they get frustrated at suggestions of changes for their work because they're the expert on typography. They're the expert on color palettes and tones that match. And this kind of, and a client comes in and gives two different colors that don't even match. A lot of designers have the tendency to go, well, that client's an idiot. That's something that I hear a lot in marketing, which I always hate, is that client's an idiot. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. Who's asking for this?
Who's writing that check?
Yeah.
Who is actually paying you to do this so that you can make a living and you can, you know, pay for your house, cars, family, whatever?
And even beyond the money part, which all that's true, and that's a huge point, it does come back again to the point that we made earlier. This needs to be a reflection of them. It doesn't need to be a reflection of me. It needs to be a reflection of my client. You know, one of the other videos that I did actually just recently was style. What was the name of it? I'm trying to get the name so people can look it up. Style versus skill, right? Where we come in and we're applying our individual style to these. We don't need to be putting our style in. We need to be putting our skill set in. We need to be mirroring the style of our client. Right. And if we have the skill, we have the ability to mirror that style. And I know that at least in marketing, I know in your business as well, and many other industries similar to us, is we are creating projects that reflect our client, not reflecting us. Now, that doesn't mean there's not ever crossover. Sometimes a client's style matches my style and it just it clicks.
Right.
Sometimes it's not even in the ballpark. But if I have the skill and I'm working on developing my skill more than I'm working on developing my style, right, then I'm going to be able to take that left turn when I think it should be a right turn, or I should be able to use a blue when I think it should be purple, you know, or whatever the case might be, right?
Now, once again, I mean, for your starting point, you know, you might throw in some of your experience.
Sure.
And experience can also, I mean, style, experience, and
recommendations, suggestions.
This will work out well. Hey, I like using a curve on all my reception counters because it's more inviting than, you know, a straight line.
Right.
Does it take more space? Yes. Maybe that's a negative benefit. But a positive benefit is it's more welcoming.
Right.
Do we have the space to do it? Yeah, we do. Or, oh, no, we can't do a curve because it's, you just, you know, for everything else that you want. But that's when you have to be able to take your style, your preferences, your, you know, some of your way of doing things and say, no, I need to tailor that for that specific project, that specific, you know, job.
Right. Whatever. Of course.
So I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
And I think that's a good practice. It's something that specifically, again, professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, we really need to focus on. And I guess maybe that's just the kind of thing is be able to step outside of your work and make sure that it reflects your client first. Again, if your style happens upon it, great. If that works, if your recommendations
that's
are
gonna
accepted.
That's going to be a beautiful, you know, kind of partnership for this job.
Exactly,
know?
Right? Mm-hmm. But if that's what you're focused on and you're only able to do it your way or it's the highway, right?
You're going to have a constant conflict.
That's it.
You know,
that's
it. And it's not going to be a successful project for you or for your client.
That's right.
You know, type of
that's
thing.
Right. You're going to be frustrated the whole time. Right. And I've seen, and I've had graphic designers that work for me before that was just something that they always did, is that they just took things so personal. They would literally get mad when revisions were requested, and it always kind of surprised me. And I guess that's because, again, I didn't come from the agency side of the business. I came from a practitioner side, so it just makes sense to me that things are going to change, and that just is what it is, and we've got to make it work for that particular situation, which is different every time. So it always kind of took me back a little bit whenever I would watch these you know, again, in our industry, these professionals, and I'm sure there's plenty of architects and anything else out there, where they just take it so personal, they get so frustrated with it, that then all of a sudden the rest of their work is less than.
Right.
It's not as good as it could be, because now you're just mad the whole time.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, I mean, I will tell you kind of on the same track of this. You know, my favorite compliments, I love hearing, oh, your suite's beautiful. Oh, you know, Scott, this works well. What I love hearing, Scott, you listen to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I love it. Yeah. I love that when it says, because then I know I'm doing something, at least for that client,
I did
something right.
That's right.
You know, because they had needs. Those needs were met. And that the suite looks beautiful and all that, great kudos and all that. But you know what? I gave them what they wanted.
Right.
In the end, they got exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
And that makes me, you know, happy. You know, kind of going off tangent a little, you know, these shows on, you know, TBS and all, where there's that, you know, they're redoing houses and all.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, you know, say, okay, well, go do it. I would be so nervous in those things because they haven't really talked to them. Oh, what do you really like?
Right.
I mean, they do a little. I mean, you know, and all that. But it just seems like such a jump.
Right.
You know. And I just want to see one of those shows where they go, oh.
I don't like that at all.
You did that? You know. And just see how you know, kind of react to that type of thing.
They'd never air that.
They would never air that. No.
I'm sure that's happened.
Well, I'm sure both family, everyone's getting paid fine.
Them
being there, them filling all.
Don't
that.
Bite the hand that feeds you, right?
Exactly.
So
but anyway, sorry.
So I was talking today. I am.
You were talking. Really?
I know. Strange, right? It never happens.
Never.
But I think we talked about it last week. I don't know. Hey, okay, that's enough. Right. That's you know, there's
we're gonna have a different guest next week.
Exactly. So say goodbye to Scott. This is his last week on the show. No, I'm just kidding. I think I mentioned last week, and if I didn't, I we're currently hiring account executives, right? So we've got our ad that we've put out there, and so I'm going through all these resumes. I'm doing the hiring, so I'm actually doing all the interviews, and have started all the phone interviews and started that whole process. And some of the conversations that I've been having, these are account executive positions, so they're going to be sales and service type roles.
Gotcha.
For our clients, they're going to, you know, generate new business and service current business. But some of the conversations that we're having is in regards to understanding our clients' needs and being able to reach those needs, not our own, not walking in thinking that we have all the answers because we've done this a million times before, because our answers that we are the things that we've done, I should say, in the past may not necessarily be 100% what this particular client needs. So, you know, the old analogy, you have two ears and one mouth, and that's for a reason, right? So you are supposed to listen double the amount that you talk, and I say you should listen even more than that, quite frankly. But how I generally word it with account executives is just shut up and listen, right? Quit talking and just listen to them. But I think whether you're in a sales position or whatever position you're in, I think that's an incredibly important lesson that, again, applies to exactly what we've been talking about, is listen. You brought it up. You said that, you know, as you mentioned, that's your favorite thing to hear somebody say, is that you actually listened. And that's because when we do that and we shut up and we listen, 9 times out of 10, they'll tell us exactly what they want.
Oh,
there's
exactly.
Really doesn't have to be that much guesswork involved, really.
Right.
You know? What else you got going on? How was your week last week?
Last week was, my son got his wisdom teeth out.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh my gosh. I'm not going to lie. That is some of the funniest stuff I have ever watched.
And us being the great parents that we are, decided to tape, you know.
Oh, that was good.
Tape him in his rantings and ravings.
Oh, what is that drug?
I have
that they
no
give
idea.
Them?
I have no idea, but he was just loopy. And this is a kid. This kid is in, you know, Sea Cadets. It's kind of a Navy ROTC
right.
program. You know, the kid does CrossFit. You know,
he's a really good kid.
He's a really straight-laced kid and all this. And to see him acting like that and to see, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it was just hilarious. And, you know, it was just like it was not even my son, but it was just fun to watch.
I think was what was made it the funniest is knowing your
son.
Knowing
who he is.
Knowing the type of kid that he is. He's not a kid. He's a
young adult. Yeah.
But knowing the type of person that he, oh my gosh, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And the most hilarious thing was on, you know, because I think that was on Friday or whatever. You know, then on Saturday, you know, we show him those things, and he's like, "I didn't say that.
That's hilarious.
I didn't say that at all. I mean, where did you get this?" And he's like, "That is you, Kyle." He's like, "No way."
Wow. You know, and that's crazy because I got my wisdom teeth cut out when I was in the Army. And they numbed my gums. That was it. I didn't get any medicine. I didn't get painkillers. I was in so much pain.
Well, welcome to medical insurance where they can charge.
You know, it's like everybody talks about how great Army medical is. No. They don't like giving
this.
Here's
a bullet. Bite down hard.
Exactly.
You know.
But that was so funny. So I'm so curious as to what drug that is. Not that I want to consume that. I'm just curious on what it is.
It is one of the things to...
It's not laughing gas, right?
No, it wasn't just laughing gas. He actually had an IV to knock him out. So it was a general anesthesia, you know, type of thing. But it was still like, you know, in hospitals and all, you get anesthesia that you're basically close to dead.
Right.
That's why they have a guy monitoring you and all that. They basically put you to a point of almost dead.
Right.
That IV is more like a waking sleep.
Right.
You know, where you're kind of... You're there, but you're not there.
Right.
Yeah. You know, type of
obviously.
Thing. You know, but he was just so happy to hear that he had a comfy bed. He's like, really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool. You know,
and
I'm just
like, are you serious,
Mom?
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
You know,
was so funny.
What do you mean I can't have a straw? I want a straw. Well, Kyle, you can't. Who tells me I can't have a straw? What does he know? What do you know? You're just an architect. You have no medical experience. I was just like, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Normally, I would slap you right now, but you're just hilarious. Keep it going.
And I'll tell you, the video, it's got, you know, I can hear your wife talking to him in the car and how straight she was the entire, just having that conversation with him.
Right? Well, Kyle. Well. How does that make you feel, Kyle?
No matter
how
ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was so funny. I laughed so hard. Literally, my stomach was hurting. I laughed so hard. I'm even crying right now. It's just thinking about it. It is so funny.
Yeah.
That needs to be.
But in order to keep his chances of ever getting a job again,
that's funny.
We're not putting it on Facebook. We shared it with a few friends and all that type of stuff. We actually on Sunday, a lot of people from church who are friends on Tracy's Facebook page say, "Oh my God, I couldn't believe that was your son! Oh my gosh, you know, all that." So I'm like, "You're marked
stuff.
Now, son. Sorry."
That was funny.
You're marked.
That
so
was good stuff.
Now we kind of started talking about, well, you know. We've already had, you know, Jen has gone to the orthodontist, and she has 4 wisdom teeth as well. Lucky girl.
Right.
And so we're wondering, man, is it going to be the direct opposite for her? You know, is she just going to be a crying mess? You know, the total opposite end of, you know, and all that. So it'll be interesting.
Right.
We'll keep you updated.
That's so funny. Yeah. That is so funny. All right.
But business-wise, right now, business-wise, it's going, you know, I'm kind of in this, how can I say it? I don't want to say a lull because there's things there.
Right.
But there's things that I'm just waiting for people to move on. You know, today was kind of one of those days. I get some of the stuff done, get it out. I get this other stuff. And then I'm like,
you know. Can't move.
Well, you know, it's like I could do something, but if they go a different way, then I waste time. But if they don't, if they go that way, then I'm ahead of the game. Or I could sit there and watch Netflix.
I'm guessing you lean to the latter.
I'm guessing, yeah, there's a little bit of Netflix.
A little bit of Netflix in the day?
Yeah.
That's
so,
funny.
Anyway. Kung Fu Panda is a funny movie.
I am slam silly right now. I'm the exact opposite of you. Awesome. Got a few projects that are working, but also trying to get everything squared down and pushed out prior to vacation 5 days from now. I cannot wait for that.
Where's the countdown timer?
Yeah, it's all in my head, man. But yeah, I counting down for vacation, but also trying to get through all these resumes these interviews.
That's
and so that has been fun to be going through that process again. I always enjoy. I like meeting new people anyway, and so the interview process is a nice way to be able to do that. Is to meet all these professionals that are out there. Sales is certainly my weakest point that I have in business, I would say. So it's really awesome to meet all these guys who are just so overwhelmingly passionate about new business development and specifically in marketing. It's really fun to meet. So. I am booked all week long, man. It's been
awesome.
A great response. We've had a really, really good response.
Awesome.
And then the week I come back, we'll be moving on to the next stage, the face-to-face interviews and go from there. So yeah, we're rocking and rolling, just getting our stuff done, scaling a business.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's what you do. Scale a business. Right. Anything else?
No, I'm good, my friend. I wish I had more to share from last week, but
hey, it is what it is.
You know, there's going to be those times when it's just like, hey, everything actually went well.
Well, you've been like going like
I've been going gangbusters
mad,
for the last
week, so. So a nice down week is a good thing, right?
Right, right.
Netflix is in order.
Netflix is in order, but here's the problem: is that I don't want to keep. Oh, I can do Netflix one more time.
Oh, one more time, and then go.
Oh, crud.
Right.
I shouldn't have done that. You know.
That was
that's one too many
much.
Binge watching, so, you know, of whatever.
But sucked into the Netflix vortex.
Well, because, I mean, seriously, I mean, I think anyone who's done that is like, oh, my gosh, it's 2 o'clock already.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, it's,
you really do get sucked in.
Because once you don't see commercials, you don't have the kind of that timing.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I saw the set of commercials. I know it's been a half an hour. You don't see those commercials. I'm like, oh, gosh, I've been watching Kung Fu Panda episodes for 2 hours, you know, or whatever. So, you know.
That's funny. That's good stuff. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Hey, you know.
That's good.
It's good.
It was a quick topic, but I think it's an important one. I think, again, just kind of step outside of yourself and get in your client's mind, and that's where you're going to be.
Know what your features are and know how they can be benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk benefits.
And talk benefits.
Don't talk features.
Yep.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. Have a great day. Scott, thanks for coming in again. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm invited back next week. We'll
nope.
see.
You're not invited next week.
That's right. I'm not invited next
week.
Because
I'm out. So there will be no broadcast next week.
I'll be knocking on Chris. Chris?
Hello?
Chris? Chris?
No. There'll be no live broadcast next week, but we'll be back the week after Faux Show and get right back to the Chris Ward Experience. So thanks again.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
And
we'll see you next time.
There you go.
Good stuff. Even with all the fans and cooling everything down.